The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, and welcome back to The Carol Markowitz Show on iHeartRadio. Over the weekend, my husband and I celebrated our 15-year anniversary. 5 years ago, on our 10-year anniversary, I tweeted a thread about where my life was before I got together with my husband and how fast it turned around. I'll read it to you. So on my 10-year wedding anniversary today, I want to do this thread in case it helps anyone going through a bad time. I'm 41. I got married at 31. On my 30th birthday, my life was a total disaster. I was at the tail end of a 7-year relationship with a really great person for whom I was ill-suited. I wasn't working, and I had no idea in what direction to take my career. I was in debt for the first time in my life because I made the mistake of going to grad school, yet continued to live like I had the same high-paying job I had before. I was a pharmaceutical paralegal straight out of college, which paid well, but I quit that to follow my passion into politics. I was in a dark place. I'm an optimistic person, but I had a hard time seeing my life improving. I wasn't suicidal. I don't want to minimize people in real darkness, but I was completely adrift. I was drinking a lot daily, and my friend, Tom Elliott, kept asking why I'd always drag him to bars with homeless people asleep in the corner. I didn't want to be around functioning normal 30-year-olds because I was so off the path. And also, those bars never really close, so 4 a.m. would come and go and I'd still be out. I'd sleep till 5 p.m. regularly. My husband was actually my best friend. That's not just something we say. He was the main voice, along with my brother, who would reason with me to get my shit together. But it's so much easier not to. Seriously, when you ain't got nothing, you ain't got nothing to lose. Which is just so true. I don't have a secret sauce for how things got better, but the summer of my 30th year, I slowly started to pull myself together. I got a consulting job. I spent more time with my now husband. I went outside during the day. That's a big one, it turns out. I took better care of myself. After some false starts, my husband and I got together for real that Thanksgiving. We were engaged in September and married the next April. Sometime I'll do a thread about what went right in my career after we got married. I had to fix myself before I could be with him seriously, and then just being with the right person went such a long way toward making everything else fall into place. He knew all my faults, and they were okay. My big point is that everything seemed hopeless, really hopeless, and then a year later, I was at the start of the best decade of my life. It can turn around so quickly. Don't give up on yourself. Don't wallow. Acknowledge you're in a bad place and work to get yourself to a better one. I believe in you. So 5 years later, I think about that thread and I repost it for people who might be going through a hard time. And look, that thread, it's honest, but really it was far worse than it sounds. I broke up with a good guy because he wasn't the one for me. And that's way harder than breaking up with a jerk who treats you badly. career-wise, I was feeling that I had made a huge mistake going into politics. I wasn't a writer yet, not really. I had a blog and I made a tiny bit of money from it, but I had no idea that I could even be doing what I'm doing now. And I retreated further and further from my normal and successful friends. My husband was my best friend. And when I say that, I mean that whenever I met a nice girl, I would try to set him up with her. He was worried about me and it showed in so many ways. But my point here is not that life can be bad or hard, and it's only partially the amazing things that can happen to you if you're in the right relationship. It's that it all can turn around very quickly. If you're in a bad place, don't give up. Make incremental changes, small steps, leave the house, talk to people who love you. There's a light at the end of the darkness, even if it's not obvious to you right now. My light was brighter than I could have ever imagined. Coming up next, an interview with Kurt Schlichter. Join us after the break.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Carol Markowitz Show on iHeartRadio. My guest today is Kurt Schlichter, senior columnist at townhall.com, retired Army colonel, lawyer, and author of The Attack. Hi, Kurt. So
hey,
nice to have you
good
on.
Good to be here.
So The Attack scared the living bejesus out of me. So we could start there. Why did you do that to me? And tell me about this. the book came out in January, first of all. It came out in January. Is that right?
Yes. I saw The Attack on 10/7. Mm-hmm. I immediately recognized the vulnerabilities here. I started talking with folks at Regnery. And on October 10th, I started writing it. On November 29th, I finished it.
Wow.
Unfortunately, Regnery went away as an imprint. But I did what I did with my Kelly Turnbull People's Republic novels. I got it out very quickly on using Amazon as my distribution platform, And by January 7th, it was out, and it has been selling like hotcakes and scaring the hell out of people ever since, which is exactly what it was intended.
So can you tell us a little bit about the book? What was your, you know, what was the thinking behind it? You obviously have experience in this world. In fact, you often write about kind of military topics and also very scary stuff. We'll get into that, but tell us about the book.
Well, the book is a novel. I could have done it as nonfiction, but I don't think that would have punched people in the gut the way they need to. Essentially, imagine a 10/7 attack here in the United States, except exponentially larger because we have a wide open border. And an intelligence and law enforcement community that's more focused on arresting people for walking through the rotunda, taking selfies, or praying at abortion clinics than protecting us from mass murderers. And we've seen, you know, every time there's one of these psychos with a rifle, you know, he's been on the FBI's radar. It's shocking. I took a look at events like the Boston incident, where you had a couple of idiots with pipe bombs and a couple of handguns, and they managed to shut down an entire city. Imagine mm-hmm. thousands of guys with minimal training, simple weaponry, and simple instructions going on a rampage. And this talks about the rampage from the points of view of many different individuals. The way I did that, I couldn't have like one character Forrest Gumping his way from the White House to, you know, a city street where a bunch of psychos are killing people. So it's about 40 little vignettes of people telling what happened. It's if you remember World War Z or World War III, for that matter, the old John Hackett book from the 80s that really scared the hell out of people about the Warsaw Pact. I use that style. I think it was pretty effective. It has been scaring the hell out of people, and that's what it's supposed to be doing, because we're in a lot of danger. We are at risk because we default to a peaceful and secure society, but we're unwilling to do the things that require that are required to maintain a peaceful and secure society. Mm-hmm. And much of what we do is frivolous and stupid. Much of what we do is self-defeating. I think if you look at our vulnerabilities, particularly the kind of people who watch MSNBC are particularly vulnerable because very few mm-hmm. of them are armed.
Right.
You realize that as individuals, we are vulnerable. And as individuals, we need to be able to fight back, but we also need to be fight back as a country. And mm-hmm. This talks about all of that from the perspectives of men and women, law enforcement, regular civilians, government officials, bad guys as well, including homegrown Antifa type terrorists, who I think would be a willing part of this sort of thing. So it's it's a scary book, and it's been selling very well, which I appreciate. I hope people listen.
I hope they do too. I have to say that the thing that helps me kind of sleep at night when I think about this kind of stuff is that it hasn't happened yet. And what do you say to that? The fact that we haven't had any kind of attack like that yet, and our border has been wide open for a while, and we do have people across the world that hate us. Why do you think it hasn't happened?
You know, Carol, I'm often stunned about how our enemies miss opportunities. We like to think that our enemies are these Ernst Stavros Blofeld volcano lair guys stroking their cats. They're these geniuses who can put all the pieces mm-hmm. together. It's important not to underestimate them. It's also important to be realistic. A lot of them are kind of stupid. Mm-hmm. In fact, as the book points out, a lot of the foot soldiers in these things are stupid people, dumb people, people with no future, mm-hmm. Who get sucked into these things and do horrible, horrible things. At the behest of much smarter people. I see them missing a lot of opportunities. I have always looked at, for instance, on a different level, President Xi not moving to take Taiwan. I mean, you know, it would be an audacious move. I'm not sure we could stop it. And I kind of wonder why not. I don't think it's the goodness of their heart. I just don't think they're as unbelievably talented as we sometimes make our enemies out to be.
You write and tweet a lot about our military largely falling apart.
Oh, yeah.
Do you feel like that is fixable?
It's definitely anything fixable. Be done? I have a town hall column that'll run on March 7th about that very subject, with a lot of focus on the frivolous trans idiocy. I mean, when you have a full colonel coming up who is a man, pretending to be a woman, addressing other officers, you know, that's not a serious military. And I might give a little more leeway to these kind of social fads if we had unequivocally won a major war in the last 30 years, which we have not done. I was there the last time we did. I was there at Desert Storm. I was in the 7th Corps main command post. And we achieved a victory on par with Hannibal or Julius Caesar. We destroyed, 36 divisions in 100 hours. It's unbelievable. Just unbelievable. And since people don't study...
I'm going to drop that line, by the way, to my history-loving son, because I don't know anything. So I'm going to be like, you know, it was a victory on par with Hannibal and Julius Caesar.
Well, it absolutely was. And if you're...
Right.
We can do a deep dive into Hannibal at Cannae, but we don't need to do that. The simple fact is we had the most... there are legendary military forces throughout history. And the American military of 1991... would have to be in the top 10 of any serious list, you know, with the Mongols, with Hannibal's army in Italy, with Julius Caesar in Gaul. It was a pinnacle. And as with so many things, we took it for granted. My theory is, you know, we're being run by the third generation, right? Like you look at the Fords, and you know, Henry Ford had a lot of issues. He was a jerk in personal life. He was also a genius who revolutionized manufacturing, and he built a giant empire. And the second generation of Fords took that and made it even bigger. They brought us the Mustang. I mean, it's just, and Ford is a multinational corporation, just a huge achievement. Name me a third generation Ford. It's like naming a third generation Kennedy. Okay, you want to meet one of them? You know, their Toyota Corolla's idling in front of a crack house. Okay.
Do we just get too comfortable? Is that what happens?
We are run by trust fund babies. Our institutions were not built by the people who run them. They were not. They didn't suffer. They didn't put any sweat equity in. They were handed them, these institutions, thanks to their credentials. You went to Harvard, great, you're now qualified. So generationally, look at it. The World War II generation beat Hitler, beat the Depression. The next generation, you know, civil rights, built America into a superpower. And the third generation, what's it got? Only fans and grinder, okay? I mean, the people who run our institutions right now are not running the institutions to have the institutions do what the institutions are supposed to do. It's to pursue their own personal agendas. The thing about institutions is the institutions have to actually perform their function or they lose all credibility. So if you look, what's the institution that works today? Is it academia? No. Is it the media? No. Is it the military? No. You look at polls
in healthcare agencies. No.
And the credibility just shrinks. So these people are simply defending sinecures rather than actually doing jobs. So we are run by cultural trust fund babies who are not accomplished people. They're not particularly bright. They're not particularly good at their job. This is why we have a war on accountability. You know, I mean, there is nothing our ruling class hates more than being held responsible. And look, I've got some issues with Donald Trump, but Donald Trump is accountability in the sense that he was elected because you guys suck. And nobody.
Absolutely.
Nobody exemplifies that better than Hillary Clinton, who he beat. Hillary Clinton is a unaccomplished, not particularly bright woman She failed the District of Columbia bar exam, for God's sake. I mean, she had a pulse and everything. How do you do that? She's she's no genius. She went to the right school and married the right guy. And that's who she is. But that's emblematic of our ruling class. They, you know, they get handed a silver spoon and then imagine that they somehow mined the ore. But they didn't. Yeah. And they're terrible. Right. And they're only concerned with maintaining their power. That's what our democracy is. It's not our democracy. It's their sinecures.
What would you say is our largest cultural problem? Like, what do you think we need to tackle first, basically?
There's so many. I think we have to reestablish normality in the sense that it's the normality that I grew up with. I'm not sure whether you were here during the 70s or 80s. But
there
was a sense, right, mm-hmm. that things worked. It wasn't perfect. You know, yeah. I mean, there were problems. Mm-hmm. There are always problems. But there was a sense that, you know, justice is kind of going to prevail. You know, the economy's, we're going to get through it. I'm going to be better off than my parents were. You know, I can generally walk the streets safely. I'm not going to get arrested for saying something. Government's not going to stop me from saying something. And none of that's true today. None of that's something we can rely on. We have to get back to that. And that means reorienting our ruling class, because there's always a ruling class. And I am hoping that we don't have to completely fail before we have a reform movement. But, you know, the old thing about weak men make hard times, mm-hmm. Hard men make good times. Good times make weak men. I mean, there is a cycle to history, and I just, you know, I don't want to run out my personal life clock on the downslope of the bell curve, but here we are.
Yeah, you're still in California. Right. That's a surprise.
I do have house in Texas.
You just want to be the last one to turn out the light?
No, literally, I literally have. One or two conservative friends left here. There used to be a vibrant community when Andrew Breitbart was here. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, and they're all gone. The people in California are not the communists, not the welfare cheats, not the losers, mm-hmm. not the Chardonnay soaked wine moms. It's people like me. And I'm going to be spending more and more time in Texas. Yes, Arena wants us to get a third place in Florida.
I love her.
I love Florida. If there wasn't family mm-hmm. in Texas, I got the only Cuban family that's not in Miami that I'm married.
Yeah, what's
into.
Up with that?
But no, I got here in 72, and mm-hmm. you could feel, even as a little kid, I could feel the excitement. It was a beautiful place. Palm
trees. Yeah, I used to love California. I loved it.
Reagan was a governor. There was always a sense, and I never didn't have this sense, that I could do whatever I want to do. I went to school at UC San Diego, went off to the Army for 4 years, but I came back and I went to Los Angeles. Now, I grew up near San Francisco, mm-hmm. and then I went to school in San Diego, but I'd never been to Los Angeles, but I knew Los Angeles was a place you go to do what you want to do. And, you know, Carol, I was able
to make it.
I built a law firm. I was a stand-up comic. I became a best-selling author. You know, I built a family. I did all these things that I wanted to mm-hmm. do, and it never occurred to me I couldn't. But we have a whole generation of young people now who only see limitations. They only see constraints. And that's not what California is supposed to be. It's heartbreaking.
Do you feel like you've made it?
I feel like I have a lot of things that I want to do, but I don't feel like I've missed something. I feel like I've always been an optimistic California kind of old time California person. Mm-hmm. I'm looking to the future going, there's all these neat things I can do. You know,
what are you thinking? What are you going to do? Tell us.
Maybe I'll write a movie. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll start mm-hmm. another company. I'm certainly going to write more books. Who knows? Maybe I'll get a radio show. I'm going to guest host for Hugh Hewitt tomorrow. I mean, I'm just some suburban kid from California, right? And I'm going to talk to 2 million people for 3 hours tomorrow morning. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm not not special. I'm not particularly, I'm not an idiot, but I'm not a genius. I just don't think there are any limits out there. And I want other people to get that too, because I'm excited about tomorrow. I always have. Mm-hmm. It's like, what's going to happen next? I mean, what cool thing can we do now?
I've seen you excited about rain.
I remember that.
You and Irina were in Florida, and it was raining outside, and you both ran toward it. Like,
it was so cool.
But then you guys got a lot of rain in California, like right after that. Yes. I feel like now, you guys now went through a period of
excited.
But yeah, right.
But isn't that how we should all be excited about all the new things that can happen, all the things you can do? I watch people who spend their lives on video games. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, on the internet all the time. And I'm on the internet a lot, but I'm enjoying
it. Yeah.
And I'm learning new things and doing things. I look mm-hmm. at Twitter as my Sudoku. It's a, you know, can I be funny? Can I be clever? Can I be pithy? There's just so many neat things, and I just want to do them. Now, sometimes I just want to chill. That's okay. Yeah. I love my routine. Mm-hmm. I have my favorite restaurants and everything. But I think I'm essentially excited about life, and I don't like that the younger generation doesn't seem to feel that way because they've been told they can't, and that doesn't happen.
How do you challenge that with your own kids?
Oh, gosh. Well, they're teenagers, so they don't talk to me. They're finding their way in the world, doing interesting things, and not the things that I did, not necessarily the paths that I've taken, but... you know, there's a world out there, and they've got some I don't, which is youth. Right? Mm. They got this whole future ahead of me. It's very exciting.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back on the Carol Markowitz Show.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What would you be doing if you weren't in the media or lawyer world?
Wow.
What would be a plan B?
I don't know. God, there's so many things. I could have stayed in the military and tried to do some cool stuff there. I mean, I was in the reserves for a while. I could have stayed active. I always thought building a different kind of business might be interesting. Who knows? Maybe I'd be a park ranger and take people out and, you know, show them, do the little midnight star watching things. I always enjoyed those. I mean, gosh.
I like that answer, park ranger.
Yeah, why not? I mean, that's just...
Yeah.
I have always promised myself I'm never going to get into a situation where I wake up dreading the day on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, as a lawyer, sometimes I'm like, I'm going to do a deposition. But most of the time I get up, I'm like, okay, cool. Another day. Yay.
Right.
And I think people ought to strive for that. It's possible, but that people keep being told they can't. And I don't like that.
So end here with your best tip for my listeners on how they can improve their lives and be happy like you.
Just go do it. You know, a lot of people are like, how do you find time to write? Well, just sit down and do it. If you get, learn to manage your time. Time is amazing. As a commander, I could give you more ammunition, more people, more tanks, more whatever. I had all that, but I never had more time. Manage your time wisely. You know, like today, I had about, an hour between what I was doing and then this. Knocked out a call. Got that
done.
Off my trip.
In an hour? Damn.
Yeah, get it done.
Feel really bad about myself.
Well, I've already written for 40 years. I mean, I hope I could go quick. It's just, get things done early so that you maximize your freedom. I try and teach that to my lawyers. You know, you don't have to throw it over the transom at 11:59. You know, you can do it 2 weeks ahead of time, and then you're done. You manage your time.
In my next life, I want to be one of those people who does it ahead of time and not at 11:59.
Oh, always do it in advance. Then you maximize your freedom.
Thank you so much, Kurt Schlichter. Buy his new book, The Attack. It is terrifying. It is fantastic. It's a must read. Thanks so much for coming on, Kurt.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Carol Markowitz Show. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.